This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Man, what a day. What a day this has been, Bob. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. That's Gwen Gold, who works in the office. This is her band, I guess.
She's very good. The more I listen, the more I love it.
And so are they. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned media feud to get the juices flowing. Is there limits?
Not at all.
And I wouldn't necessarily call this a feud, although it appears to be somewhat of a cold war. Or at the very least, a sharp divergence, a sharp difference in reporting. And really, I mean, the bottom line here is Aditi Kinkabwala came on the station yesterday and absolutely crushed Jerry Dulac's report of the friction between Russ and Arthur Smith, saying basically that that Bengals game, Russ was sort of freewheeling, calling changing plays at the line, that type of thing. And then they stripped it away from him inexplicably. So get the clip with Aditi right at the top of the PM show yesterday. She comes out as strong as a human being could come out and absolutely shreds this story, but immediately steps away.
It is patently false. Completely inaccurate. Maybe that's not a fair way to say it. It is one-sided. It is You know this, Pony. Journalism is about getting both sides of a story.
Bob, as I said earlier, that is the hospital equivalent of he's dead. No, wait a second. He's alive. I mean, you come out that strong.
Yeah, and she backed off a little bit about it.
Backed off a lot about it.
You know, the thing is, there are two sides to every story. I think Jerry's report was pretty comprehensive in that he had multiple sources, and I don't know who they are, but I do know if you have multiple sources, then most likely that's what happened. It could very well be that Russell Wilson's agent, knowing that his time in Pittsburgh has since gone and there will not be another contract, has decided, well, I better go on the attack mode here and come up with a reason why the end looked the way it did, and it has nothing to do with Russell. So don't be dissuaded by that if you're trying to sign him. I don't know. All I know is that it makes it more and more unlikely that Russell Wilson will be back.
And that's where we get to Jay Glazer for sure. But first, let's fire up this feud a little more, Bob, because that's what we do here. Aditi then went back later in the interview and said that what Jerry threw out was completely wrong again. So I left sort of unsure where she stood on this. But there's no doubt she was highly critical of Jerry's reporting methods. Can we agree on that? Highly critical of those.
Oh,
highly.
Yeah. I mean, the way she came out right off the bat, swinging like that.
And this is Jerry's chat at the Post-Gazette. You ready for this, Bob? This will spice things up a little.
Was that today? Just now?
Stairway to seventh seed, this person calls themselves. Stairway to seventh seed. Jerry, do you want to comment on Aditi K's theory that your scoop was a plant by Wilson's camp to make Smith look like the problem for the collapse. I suppose alternately says Stairway to Seventh Seed, which is a great. The more I look at that, I didn't catch it at first. Did you? Limit?
Seven Stairway seed. To Seventh Seed, yes. Not Super Bowl, seed.
He or she says, I suppose alternately, could it have been embellished by people inside the Steelers that prefer Wilson? That's what I said to you yesterday, Bob. But the news here is Jerry responds, I don't know who that is. Bob, he knows who Aditi is. She's been around there, or started around there anyway, years and years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Them's fighting words, Bob, aren't they?
I mean, he just decided, who is she? What? Who? I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. How about that? But in the end, here's the crazy part.
I just know Jerry for a long time, as you have. And I think he's very, very good at what he does. I know that he breaks a lot of things, and yes, like everyone, once in a while that won't work, but I mean, his history suggests that he's right on with a lot of stuff.
Here's the moral of the story, if you can call it that, or the conclusion for me, that Jerry and Aditi arrived at the same place in the end, at least in this respect. The Steelers are a team that does not allow their quarterback, even a veteran quarterback who's been there, done that, seen everything, make changes at the line of scrimmage. Do you have this from Aditi? That part where she said at the end that the Steelers aren't a team that does a ton of that. I mean, it's mind-blowing, Bob. Let's hear this.
I read this as a desperate ploy to explain why the season ended the way that it did, to assign blame elsewhere, and to perhaps try to create a market here in Pittsburgh for his services. And the truth is it's just not true. This isn't the offense that the Steelers were running. I told you guys this in the spring, that Sean Payton was pretty open about the fact that he needed to put a wristband on Russell Wilson, and even with the wristband on, he couldn't really call plays. The Steelers weren't running an offense where they were changing a ton of things at the line.
Then what kind of offense were they running? By the way, I believe her. And her and Jerry, like I said, Bob, ultimately come to the same conclusion, which I would translate to this. The Steelers are running a Stone Age offense. And anybody you talk to in football will tell you that those seconds before the snap have a lot to do with whether games are won or lost. There's a cat and mouse game going on between your defensive, your green dot person, or whoever you
Absolutely.
Have out there,
that's
manipulating your personnel and your quarterback.
Right. That's what it is. It's you have an opportunity with a veteran quarterback who's been there, done that, seen these kinds of things, can make quick decisions. That's what he's all about, and that's why they were attracted to him, I thought. And he can go to the line of scrimmage and say, this is not going to work. What they're lined up with, and he goes to the center, talks, changes a play. It happens a lot. Maybe not as much as it should here, but it happens a lot in football. And it has to be part of the offense.
The bottom line to all of this, whatever happened in the Bengals game, whatever, the Steelers apparently don't have much of a mechanism for quarterbacks to get out of bad plays or get into good ones. And like I said, what are we talking about here, Bob? A 1936 yeah. game where if you call, where the guy has a conventional huddle, I don't know, Y.A. Tittle maybe in 1952, but and says we're going to have a pitch out to John Henry Johnson, no matter what the defense does, run it anyway?
Or
is that what
Patterson.
We're doing here?
Yes. But,
or Cordarrelle Patterson.
But the point is, if you know it's not going to work, if you have a bad vibe at the quarterback position, you know this is not good. I'm putting my team in a bad position here by playing.
Right.
I got to change it. I don't understand why that is, and I can't believe that it would be totally off limits. I can't believe it. I got to believe there's some aspect to this that the pendulum come back.
Man, I hope so.
It has to be.
But here's,
you can't conduct a business as an offensive coordinator without giving the quarterback the last say, especially one who has that much on his resume.
And Aditi, perhaps unwittingly, in the end, basically ripped the Steelers herself, I might add, by saying, I knew this situation with Russell Wilson last year. It feels to me like she's saying a lot of people know that he's a one or two read guy. He couldn't even call plays with a wristband on. Well, then why would the Steelers go out and sign this guy? Plus, she said that Mike Tomlin, in her opinion, put the kibosh on Artie Smith's offense.
That's what her conclusion was. Yes. But I don't, again, Ray Fittipaldo has a different, and I know Ray has been doing this for a long time too. And I get what he's saying, that Tomlin is not over the top of the offense as much as he may be with the defense. Okay, if that's the case, then it's Arthur Smith who's running it. He knows what Mike likes. Mike will dictate whatever the philosophy is, but I don't think Mike calls the plays or changes every single play.
No. It's his philosophy, and he certainly has.
Right. The philosophy needs to change.
Right, like if Artie's best idea is let's take the frozen cadaver of Cordarrelle Patterson, who hasn't touched the ball all game, even though it's 5 degrees out.
I love how you put and the run frozen cadaver.
And run a pitch out here. If I'm Mike Tomlin, I say, Artie, and then I swear at him, and I say, that's not happening.
Right.
Okay?
Right, you can do
so
that.
So he has that, but it's also his philosophy. But here's what I mean that they arrive at the same place, which is that the Steelers don't have an offense whereby the quarterback has tons of freedom to do as he sees out there. Which to me, Bob, indicates either, man, you got a bunch of the wrong quarterbacks in here, or you have a Stone Age offense controlled by an overly controlling head coach, or both. Here's Chili Dave or Chill Dave. Listen to this, Bob. Are you listening closely?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you drift on me, and I wonder. Hi, Jerry. Great article on the Smith-Wilson relationship. It is now dawning on me, says Chill Dave, and perhaps everyone, that this might be a long-standing Tomlin approach. I know at a certain point Ben audibled out of plays freely because who was going to argue with him, but I also remember the friction between him and Haley. To your eye, says Chill Dave, have audibles been prohibited for a long time? This is Jerry Dulac's answer. Speaking of eyes, you have a keen one.
Well, that pretty much sums it up.
Aditi said the same thing. Whatever quarrel they might have, Jerry claiming he doesn't know who Aditi is, Aditi saying this was patently false before she backed away, then went back to that position. Incredibly, they arrive at the same place. The Steelers don't let their quarterbacks change stuff very much.
Well, then that's
no
bad.
Matter who
that,
the quarterback
that philosophy
is
completely outdated and needs to be revamped.
I agree.
Do that. Not if you're going to end the year with these good teams you play against and you are basically harnessing your own quarterback and telling him not to do things that you need to do if you're going to outsmart some of these good defensive coordinators who are in the game. You have to play not checkers, but chess with them. And if you're not, then you're going to end up with 17 points a game or less.
May I give you another one from Jerry Dulac's chat, which
sure.
is must read at the Post-Gazette, I might add. It's Steve Bono fan club. This guy calls himself Bob.
Steve Bono, back in the day.
Do you remember Sonny Bono very well?
Yeah.
The Sonny and Cher show. Did you like that?
Yeah, I did.
I enjoyed
Cher's
it.
Cher's still going strong.
Love her.
At her age, I don't even know what she is, but she's still singing.
I Got You, Babe. That's still a wedding
it
song,
is.
I think, Bob. And I love Sonny. Not a great voice, but a unique voice, kind of like Bob Dylan in a way, right?
I like Sonny is my favorite name for a boy because my grandson is named Sonny.
That's a great name.
You gotta do it.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
So the Steve Bono fan club writes into Jerry Dulac and says, does it really matter who the quarterback is if he has no ability to audible at the line of scrimmage? What are we doing here if you can't trust your quarterback to make adjustments when the defense dictates it, especially one that may be enshrined in Canton one day? Jerry says, oh, wow, right off the bat, pay the man. So here's another point here. Jerry ain't backing off his story, by the way.
No, nor should he.
Not in the least. And whether people want to paint it as hopelessly slanted, the story, they can go ahead and do that. But this is the last time I'll say it. They both came to the same conclusion. And Bob, it's just mind-blowing to be in the NFL in this day and age and think you can control it to the point where your quarterback plays with handcuffs. Why did they bring in Russell Wilson? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. When they did that, I thought that was the indication that they needed a, quote, professional quarterback, someone who has a long history of knowing how this stuff goes, someone who could be an extension of the coach on the field in that role, knowing that I have the autonomy to move some things if I want to. Some decisions could be bad that way. Some could be good. But at least you have the freedom to do it, and you know as the last guy looking at that defense as it sets up across right. from you, you know what they're going to do.
Right. So, and by the way, as Jerry says, none of this is to absolve Russell Wilson of any blame for what happened in the last five games.
Well, that's true.
He stunk. He's the QB after all, Jerry says. But to your point, the Steelers' philosophy has remained the same no matter the coordinator. Gee, I wonder what the common denominator is. This brings us all the way to this. No more Russell Wilson. Big surprise, I guess. But when Jay Glazer says it and he has a direct pipeline to Mike Tomlin, man, to me, that spells the end of the Russell Wilson era. Let's hear from Jay Glazer.
Russell Wilson obviously has had a long career and going back to free agency. Pete Carroll, I mean, this is kind of connecting dots.
That ain't going to happen.
That one's over, right?
That's not going to happen.
That one's over. Do you think it's more likely Russ goes back to the Steelers? Because the ending there was also a little weird, too. So just a new start for Russ.
I think you'll see a new start for Russell somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who is the starting quarterback of the Steelers? Do you think it's Justin? It's somebody?
I don't know. These guys are the Senior Bowl. I was texting with Mike Tomlin the other day. He's the Senior Bowl. They're thinking about it. Yeah. So they can compartmentalize only so much. So Senior Bowl, right? And then all of a sudden, next week, they have combine meetings, right? And so they're going to have to start talking about free agency and what's out there. But I don't think they know who their starting quarterback's going to be yet.
That's interesting because I do, and I think it's Justin Fields, and I don't think Tomlin or the Steelers want that message out there yet. So maybe Jay is controlling it for them, but I think it's Justin Fields.
Well, he shut down the Russell Wilson thing to Pittsburgh real quickly.
Isn't it obvious?
And even the thing he kind of did too, I was a little surprised by that because that's the most logical choice.
Because I still think they're negotiating with Justin Fields and they want to get the cheapest deal possible.
Again, you may be negotiating against yourself.
You might
be. I don't
know
how many people.
But if you can create the illusion that we could go to Russell, and if nobody else wants you, you better come to us for less money.
Well, I think that ship has sailed. I don't think even Justin Fields, his group, would say this now. They know that.
So give me one phrase for each of you. One phrase on the Russ. If it's over, one phrase on the Russell Wilson era in Pittsburgh, Bob. I would say it
toxic positivity became toxic negativity.
Very good. I like that one. I would say it was cooking and then it burnt.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Steeler Nation soaring out of the playoffs.
How about if Justin Fields is the guy moving ahead? Do you have no real feeling either way or not like that idea?
I like that idea.
Mm. Can you expound upon that, Bob?
I just think he's... what are they going to do? They're right in a bad situation.
That's a little different than saying you like that idea followed by what the hell are they... what else are they going to do? Do you like him as the quarterback?
Well, I've said to you before, I think he has upside that they have not yet unlocked. And I think there is a possibility for that to happen. So for that to happen, they need to get him here, and they need to make him the starter and say, we are going to do, you know, looking back, Joe, I think it's pretty obvious. They should have stuck, knowing what we know now, and I know it's hindsight, but they would have been better off just getting an entire full season of Justin Fields, not Russell Wilson. But they brought Russell Wilson in, and that's why it's hard for me to believe that Mike Tomlin would not allow him to do some of the things that a veteran quarterback should be allowed to do. I thought that was the reason to get him. But since they went to Wilson, they probably would have been better off getting a whole year of Justin Fields just to see exactly where he is. If you saw advancement in the pass game as the year went on, good. That's something for us to build on, and we know. I don't know if they really know that yet, but I still think it's available to them, and that's why I would be
I hear you.
In his camp.
But Mike Tomlin said, I'm not trying to win games here, to his buddy Jay Glazer. I'm trying to win championships. Mike Tomlin had a vision of Russell Wilson as a championship quarterback. However, part of that vision apparently was, I will control everything he does. He won't have freedom at the line. You love, like, sort of in between or not like the idea of Justin Fields?
I kind of like the idea of bringing Justin Fields back because I think it gives you the potential bottoming out situation where if he fails and struggles, then you can position yourself in a good spot. But I do think since he's still young, mobile, and athletic, if they do move the offense towards his strengths, which, I mean, hearing all this, I mean, you can't get that optimistic about, but I agree with a lot of what Bob said. And Justin Fields is just flat out their best option, where the options are very thin to begin with.
The part of the story that still blows me away is after all of that, it was, oh, by the way, this could cause a little crimp in Wilson coming back here for $20 million a year. That was just very odd. Mm-hmm. I feel nonplussed, I guess is the word, about Justin Fields. However, I do hear what you're saying. With their predicament right now, is there a better option? I just don't think he's franchise caliber. As Jay Gruden put it in a podcast recently, he's not a good passer of the football. And I would add that's slightly problematic. That's like being, you know, I don't know, a pizza cook who's not that good at cooking pizzas.
I wouldn't say he's not a good thrower of the football. I think he makes his decision-making needs to be better. And accuracy. There have been games, especially in Chicago, and he had one here in the second half of the Indianapolis game where I saw, you know, they were down 17 points. He had to bring them back, and he did. And most of that was passing the football down the field.
I don't think he's accurate. I don't think he's consistent.
But don't you think there's a way for him to take it to another level? Or do you just
that would be rare to me. And I compare him to Marcus Mariota, who had some unbelievable games in Tennessee. Okay. Unbelievable. 4 touchdown, no pick.
Well, then if it's not him, then they have to sign him to a short-term deal
and
investigate next year's draft.
Yes.
I don't think their answers in this year, they're not, unless they get extremely aggressive and move up into a top five and they like somebody that much. But I don't see that happening.
Let's go to a call, O Limitless Wonder.
Here is Mike and Shaler. Wants to talk about the quarterbacks.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Hey, I like what you asked about Bob's description of Russell Wilson's time in Pittsburgh, and I liked how it was, I would say it was toxic and it was short. Toxic
well just to jump in, before anybody gets alarmed, Russell Wilson's still here, but we're saying if the Jay Glazer report is true that he's not coming back, how would you look back upon it? So go ahead, please.
Toxic and short. Toxic positivity and too short to see over the line of scrimmage.
I can't believe that phrase has taken off again. Toxic positivity from Mark Schlereth.
I think seeing the whole season, you could see what he was talking about.
I could. And I was critical of that at first.
So was I. I wondered, because I had never heard that. And I'm wondering, what does that mean? Because every time I've heard the guy speak, he seems like a good...
Part of it is you're so confident in yourself that it's never your fault. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
It seems that way, Bob. Seems that way. Next.
I can just see Russell Wilson after throwing a pick six to Marlon Humphrey. They go down by 2 scores. He's having a couple of bad practices. Him going back into the huddle. All right, guys, we got this. Don't worry about it. You know, brush it off. We're good. We got it. And everybody just looking around at him just saying, Russ, aren't you the one that just put us in this position?
No, it's. I don't know what to compare it to. We all know people like this. And there's something to be said for it. And I'll say it again that I think Russ and his family seem like wonderful people off the field.
But, they are.
But people are who that. Are annoyingly filled with platitudes and never agree that anything's negative or never seem to see it are annoying. It's annoying.
It's also looks fake at times.
Yes, Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's one thing to say it and believe it. If you don't believe it, but you're saying it just because you know that's the proper
way
to do it.
My foot just got run over by a truck. All my bones are broken. And Russell Wilson is standing over me saying it's not that bad. There's actually a good side to this. Can we talk about that later? Because my foot is mangled. This is not the time for your platitudes. You know what I mean?
Right, right. He doesn't come clean with that kind of stuff. And I think that's what toxic positivity is.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.